You're so special, baby. This is Paloma, and I'm here with Davy Jones, and we are chatting on the phone with Horton Jupiter from a very cool band from London called They Came From the Stars. I saw them.
Hello. Hello.
You are so special, baby.
First of all, my first burning question, since your bandmates are not here for this interview, please describe them to us.
Jesus. They're all maniacs. I don't know, they're my best friends. Our bass player is, and our drummer as well, they're very, very, they approach music in a very spiritual fashion, you know, that. Playing music is pretty much their entire reason for existence. And everybody likes dressing up and jumping around. just go on, they're lovely. What can I say?
All right, so how would they describe you?
Probably a walking nightmare. I don't know. How would they describe me? yeah, I think they would probably describe me as being difficult. I was kind of fair on them. Difficult, but worth being difficult, I guess.
Very good.
I hope, anyway.
Could you please tell us the story of the novelty clock?
The novelty clock? Well, I wish I knew the story of the novelty clock. It sort of unfolds its secrets very, very slowly. All we've managed to get from them so far is that it's 25 to 6. we're still working on that. They're kind of, yeah, they're mysterious figures. We know that they're not from here, and that they inhabit this novelty clock, and that it's 25 to 6. Beyond that, it's all just a mystery, really. Sometimes we when we're playing music specifically, we feel like we might be approaching understanding direct knowledge of the Game Masters, but most of the time, it's just a mystery.
Thank you.
If you really want to know more about the clock, the thing to do is to just get an image of them up on your computer screen or something, and just stare at them for a few hours, and it might come to you.
I'll try that, you know. And then I'll let you know what happens.
Okay. It's completely brilliant. it's a popular one. I don't know if we've actually sold any copies, but we all think it's one of the best things we've ever done. One of the tracks is 5 years old, and it's in fact it's probably about 7 years old now. But we recorded an LP almost exactly 5 years ago, which is finally coming out in August. And the third track on the EP is from those sessions, and then the other two tracks are sort of only about a year old, so they're relatively fresh. And I think it's a masterpiece. I don't know. What do you think of it? I don't know what anybody thinks of it, because we've failed to get any reviews or any sort of attention for it. We've had like 4 reviews, and 2 of them have been really bad, and 2 of them have been pretty positive. But I haven't got a clue what other people think of it, and I'm kind of too close to understand what it means. I mean, is it any good? What do you think?
I've heard it. I think it's brilliant. I love it.
Good. Great. I'm glad.
As listeners, we think it's great. So, I mean, I think that's really what you want. You want listeners to think it's great, not necessarily professionals, right?
But the trouble is, it's kind of hard to get through to the listeners without professionals getting in the way and going,
that's
look
true.
At this.
Exactly.
It's a bit strange at the moment. I feel like our band is like it's the Van Gogh of pop music or something.
Well, that lends itself to something too. A question that I would have. I mean, is it, you know, when you're developing something like this, you stated you feel like you are the Van Gogh of bands. When you're developing your music, I don't know. I mean, it would be hard for me to believe that you're developing this simply because you think that it will sound good to other people. I mean, I think music can be so much more than that.
Wow. precisely. Yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's just what turns us on as well.
Yeah.
Right.
And we kind of hope it'll transmit. I don't know how well it does, though. It's hard to understand if it does transmit, but yeah, that's certainly we a lot of our records have kind of I mean, the rest of the band are very good musicians, but I remain, after 8 years of doing this, completely amusical, and most of the songs are born as ideas first and then become songs later. So for instance, like we made the Christmas EP, which was just like, let's make a Christmas record. Okay, what does a Christmas record sound like? Okay, let's record loads of sleigh bells. let's dress up as Santa. Let's sit in somebody's bedroom in the middle of June for about 2 months, waving sleigh bells around and with flashing lights and Christmas trees surrounding us in the middle of the summer. And then we just hung loads of baubles on it, and suddenly we have a Christmas record. It wasn't born out of musicianship. It was born out of ideas first, like creative ideas.
Right. So it's about the whole experience.
Yeah. That's precisely it. Yeah.
Schneemann, den Kinder da gebaut, und da liegt das.
here's, why is the kite unstoppable?
Why is the kite unstoppable? Yeah. I just like the image. I think the only thing that's more poignant, a symbol of freedom and play and flight and hope, than an unstoppable kite is quite possibly a small child letting go of a single red balloon, which then flies off into the sky. obviously leaving the small child bawling its eyes out, but the image of the balloon, you know, similarly to, with the unstoppable kite, it's just such a hopeful idea that that it just will not stop.
I would like that. That's great. Oh. If you could pick the worst meal you have ever eaten, what would it be?
The worst meal I've ever eaten? Mm-hmm. It's possibly one of those... one of those kind of breaking up with your girlfriend in a restaurant scenarios where the taste, it doesn't matter how good the food is, it's still going to be the worst meal you've ever eaten, right? I really, I'm the wrong person to ask. I'll eat pretty much anything. I really like eating.
And you're on a fast right now, so anything sounds good to you.
Yeah, I smelled fried shit wafting past the window earlier on, and it was smelling pretty good. I don't know, maybe I might go there and sort of try and stop myself from asking if I can have some.
All right, so who or what, and this doesn't have to be a who, it could be a what, is your greatest influence musically?
They came from the stars I saw them, obviously.
Very good.
It's true. It's true. I think it's. It's something we've always. It's like one of the central sort of tenets of "They Came from the Stars, I Saw Them." Is always been that kind of a sadness at artists who want to just sort of emulate another artist.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole, you know, well, not the whole point, but one of the big things with art is that you're trying to find something, trying to touch something, trying to learn about the world around you or about yourself or whatever, and it seems foolish. I mean, like, you know, me and my bass player Dan, we absolutely worship the Stooges. Funhouse is possibly the best rock and roll record ever made, right? But what is the point of trying to make a record like Funhouse? Well, it's done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way. It's like there are 10 million bands all desperately wishing they were Iggy. And they're not Iggy, are they? But like, Iggy's like 90 years old, and he's still streets ahead of a lot of them. So it's kind of pointless trying to, you know, do anything apart from be true to yourself and try and find your own thing, I think.
All right,
does that make sense?
Best answer I've ever had to that question. Very good.
Oh, good, good. Thank you very much. Woo! But generally, I sometimes find a man and a woman going around in a loop. You know that?
No.
No, tell us about it.
It's Francis Lai, the da 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 da.
Okay, yeah, I know
yeah,
that.
That sometimes just goes over and over. And also, I guess when we're working on a piece of music, sometimes it takes quite a long time. I mean, I don't know. Do you know It's Time, our last single?
I'm not sure. I haven't.
It's like 8 minutes long, and it's all the way through the record, pretty much. It has this riff that just goes da na 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 da na 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 da na 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 da na na na. And when we were producing it and trying to edit it down from a 7-minute piece into like a sort of 3-minute radio edit or something, I attempted to calculate how many times we listened to those four notes in a row. And And then, of course, you've got to add on to that the factor of all those times that that riff went round and round in your head when you were, like, taking a leak or looking out the window or playing pool or walking down the street or going to the shop or trying to make love or sleeping. Or, and the figures involved are pretty astronomical. So, sometimes it can... Things like that can really... Do you get... What's yours? I mean, what do you get... Something that just sits and won't go away.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
Do you get that as well?
Oh yeah. You know that song is really great because I think it's catchy, and you get there's a sadness to it. There's a certain sadness to it. There are all the stars that never were are pumping gas and parking cars. That's what an image.
Well, and it's just fun to sing.
It's beautiful.
I sing it in the car all the time when I'm driving.
Yeah, well, Amber, I noticed you mentioned the Flaming Lips. They're great at that, aren't they? I mean, their songs are so full of sorrow, but they just throw it out with such abandon.
Well, I was going to say, there's two songs that I often have in my head all the time, and it's Gash from the Flaming Lips, and from Blondie, Dreaming, because I'm a big Debbie Harry fan, and I almost always have a Blondie song in my head. And you can ask David.
And is that one specifically?
That one specifically.
Okay.
That's what I sing in the shower every day. If you were to perform in the circus, what would you do?
Oh, a clown. Obviously. I've been a clown, actually, strangely.
Was that you dressed up as the March Hare? Who dressed up as...
Yeah. That was a strange day. I was very briefly did some do you have those in America, like sort of anarchist clowns that do like direct actions and stuff at protests?
Wow.
I don't know. I haven't seen any.
Tell us about it.
I wasn't with them for very long because then I started doing pop music again and sort of lost interest in all that a little while. But they're incredible. It's basically a bunch of people who dress up as clowns and go to actions and they get away with so much trouble because they're dressed as clowns and they act like clowns. And it's like, and it's a really beautiful thing because they tend to diffuse tense situations quite well, you know, because they go straight up to the police and just start tickling them and stuff. and even the most hardened, evil, dark-hearted fuzz mother can't help but just like be like, somebody's tickling me. So they're great. They're really good.
And you mentioned they were anarchist clowns. Well, this will lead me to another question. And if there's a one thing that you would like to wake up and see changed in the world, what would that be?
One thing.
Oh, yeah, I know. I mean,
well, the answer to that could be everything.
Oh, that's hard. I mean, it'd be quite easy to go for the big thing, which is obviously like somebody puts a bullet straight through you-know-who, but... No, that wouldn't work. That wouldn't make any difference at all, really. And you know exactly who I'm talking about, don't you? Of course.
Yes.
But it doesn't make any difference. He's just a puppet.
There's someone else waiting in line.
Yeah, exactly. Even if you got Rumsfeld, they'd still be in. Darth Vader Jr. would still replace him. So that's things like that. I mean, I'd like to see those things happen, but I think... If suddenly there could suddenly be like a mass rise in human consciousness, but I don't think that's going to happen either. So that's I'm just going to go with something really simple. I'd like to be incredibly rich.
Okay.
I think I get very concerned about the state of the world sometimes. At the end of the day, all you can really do is live your life as fully and as you can, and so. I would like to see a mass raising consciousness, but whether it would necessarily make the world a better place, I don't know. So I would have to go for the, I would like to be rich enough to be able to do nice things every day and not have to struggle anymore. That would be good.
That's great.
All right, so maybe.
Yeah, I think it's everybody's duty to be as happy as they can and live fulfilling lives. And you know, a lot of people on the world don't get to even think about these questions about how to live a rewarding life because they're too busy trying to feed themselves.
Right.
But I'm kind of lucky. I'm as poor as I am. I'm still in the top 1% of rich people on earth. So I think it's my duty to just feel the look, and enjoy myself, really. So,
Very good. If you had to lose one of your limbs, which one would you sacrifice?
my penis.
I'm glad you have a limb, man.
Wow. Thank you very much. It would make life a lot easier. I don't know. Which one? If I was still pumping out testosterone and I lost my penis, that'd be pretty horrible, wouldn't it?
That would be pretty miserable.
So I guess a limb. My left leg.
Why your left leg?
My left leg could go.
Why not your right leg?
Because my right leg's got all the skill. I'm right-handed, so my right leg's got all the skill. So having said that, maybe if I lost my right leg, then I became more adept at using my left leg to move around, and that would have lots of skill and control. Okay, I'd lose my right hand because I'd lose my right arm because then I'd have to just use my left arm, and then that would probably increase the strength of my right brain hemisphere.
Yes, and
would make me more creative. So I would lose my left. I would lose my left hand.
Think of the wasted potential in your left arm because you don't use.
Sorry, I'd lose my right arm. Sorry.
Very good.
I would give my right arm for that. Never mind.
And the good thing is he saved his peepus. Well, do you have any last words for us? Any questions for us?
Last words. I wish Kurt Vonnegut the very best. Wherever he is.
Yeah. Sure he's in a good place.
I'm sure, yeah, of course. He's under the ground, probably. But,
Better than this place, man.
there is no death. I saw a nice thing that somebody printed up from the Sirens of Titan. Sirens of Titan, maybe? Or is it, Tremalfador? Is that Sirens of Titan?
Yeah,
really. About if you can perceive the fourth dimension, then there is no death because your life has always existed and will always exist. So it's a good job that I'm pleased that Kurt Vonnegut existed. Can I ask you something? Who's going to replace these people?
I don't know. I'm a little afraid.
Are there any? I mean, do we live in a world where we don't need heroes anymore, or do we live in a world where we desperately need them, but we can't? We haven't got the human construction to have heroes. I mean, what is it?
Well, I think we desperately need them, but we don't live in a world that can create heroes anymore.
Yeah, it's bad, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of do you know Terry Gilliam? You know the film, which film is it? Baron Munchausen. You know that one?
Oh, I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's a beautiful film. And there's a beautiful moment where Sting is brought in to see the leader. And the people are going, this man single-handedly destroyed 15 enemy cannon. In the face of certain death, the rest of his brigade were slaughtered, and he managed to get behind the enemy lines and destroy 15 cannon. He's a hero, and the guy says, okay, take him away and kill him, and they're like, why is that? I said, we can't have heroes. people will be inspired by him. You know, we can't have these people. People will think that it's good to be something out of the ordinary. People will start rising up and questioning their position in society. But of course, there is a happy end to that, which is that Sting gets taken away and killed. So that's good. It's a magic moment. Bell boy, that's another magic moment. But let's not go.
it on.
Oh, very good. I knew this one would be good. All right, the last question. Will you please give us your best impression of a pirate?
Good going, man.